70. Killian. Lydia was nothing like Rufina. She was brave and selfless and kind, and he hated that she felt otherwise. Hated that the corruptor had gotten his claws into her, even if it had been just for a moment. And it also made him wonder how many other of the marked had slipped briefly into darkness, whether he had himself. And in asking the question, Killian knew that it was so, that there had been moments where he'd been so consumed by anger that he'd used the strength that Trimmon had given him not to protect those he cared about, but to harm. Vividly, he remembered how he'd attacked Hacken in the tunnels the night of the ball, how he'd wanted to hurt his brother as much as his brother had hurt him, how if Sonia hadn't intervened, he might have killed his own flesh and blood. But instead of telling Lydia that, he said, "My first horse wasn't a horse. It was a pony." "Pardon?" It was the first thing he'd said to her since they'd started out that morning. And out of the corner of his eye, he could see her staring at him in confusion. "Before," he clarified, "you asked about my family's horses and if I remembered my first horse. It was a pony, named Pom Pom." "Pom Pom?" The first smile he'd seen in a long time lit her face. "You had a pony named Pom Pom." "That's right." Holding out a hand, he helped her over a fallen log, then turned his gaze back north. "And she was the nastiest, vilest-tempered beast I have ever owned. Bucked me off more times than all my other horses combined. My warhorse is a kitten by comparison." "Your warhorse bites," she said. "Threatens to bite," he corrected. "Pom Pom actually bit. Constantly and without provocation. She also kicked anything that dared to walk behind her. And despite being only 3 feet tall, she was also prone to trampling anything and anyone that got in her way, including me." "And why, given that you apparently own a few thousand head of horses," she lowered her voice, clearly imitating him, "would your parents allow their child to be around such a beast?" "It was my mother's doing. For all she's been a Calorian for 27 years, I've only seen her actually ride a handful of times. My theory is that she dislikes ceding any control over where she's going. But she'd probably box my ears for saying so. Regardless, she was of the mistaken belief that being closer to the ground would make me safer. So when I demanded a mount, she insisted my father procure the smallest pony he could come by. Enter Pom Pom. I should think she'd have learned sooner with you having two older brothers. They got proper horses as their first mounts. Small, of course, but horses nonetheless." She frowned. "What made you different?" "My father says she was always more protective of me." He shrugged. "Seems silly in hindsight. But anyway, by the time she realized her error, I was so deeply enamored with Pom Pom that I refused to give her up. When they tried to take her, I ran away with her and my sword. My father finally tracked me down at a farmhouse a few miles away, me having convinced the family living there that I was an orphan in need of care." A laugh exited her lips, and it was all Killian could do not to lean down to kiss her. Looking away, he continued, "It apparently became quite a pattern for me. Every time my parents did something that made me cross, Pom Pom and I would gallop off down the road, roving farther afield each time in search of a family to take me in. Of course, everyone knew who I was, and word would be sent immediately to Terradale that I'd been found, which meant my father arriving soon after to lead us back home." "Would you be punished?" A memory, so faded as to be little more than an impression of sound and sentiment, filled his head. Of riding on Pom Pom next to his father's stallion, the sun beating down on their heads, listening to war stories. No, he wasn't much for punishment. Rarely anything worse than being forced to muck stalls or the like. But I was generally so desperate to please him that knowing I disappointed him in any capacity was worse than a lashing. And the last thing Killian had done was disappoint him. Shaking his head to clear away the rising grief, he said, "Pom Pom was the only one with me when I was marked." "Will you tell me how it happened?" she asked. none of the girls in the guards seemed to know the whole of it. And if she knew, Berkula wouldn't say. It was hard not to stiffen at the mention of the giantess. He'd heard nothing of her since their conversation at Alder's Ford, and he couldn't help but wonder where she was. If she was well. If, maybe, he'd been too harsh in sending her away. "Very few know the story," he finally said. "My mother, and I suppose my brothers. I was not yet 5 years old, and I, along with my entire family, had journeyed north to Mudaire. I was supposed to swear my sword to King Derek Falorn's daughter, Kiraria. The idea being that I'd be raised alongside her so that my loyalty would be assured. At any rate, the day prior to when the ceremony was to take place, my mother stuffed me into fancy clothes to sit for a portrait, none of which suited me. So I saddled Pom Pom and left the city." That part was hearsay recollected by his parents, for he didn't remember the clothes or the portrait or riding alone through Mudaire. But clear as day, he remembered what had happened next. "I went galloping down one of the paths along the coast, waving the new sword my father had given me and pretending I was off to slay a beast or some such nonsense. Pom Pom must have been weary of my shouting, because as we entered a copse of trees, she slid to a stop and sent me flying over her ears and into the dirt."
"And you loved this animal?"
"Most definitely," he confirmed. "Anyway, I was sitting in the dirt shouting foul words at her, and someone said, 'I believe this blade is yours, Killian.'" He swallowed, his throat feeling suddenly thick. "I looked up, and this enormous man in golden armor stood over me, holding out my sword. I tried to take it back, but he kept it just out of reach. And being the entitled little Calorian shit that I was, I said, 'You give that back or my father will have you lashed, you thieving bastard.'"
"You did not."
"I did. Fortunately for me, Trimmon apparently has a good sense of humor because he only laughed. I was in a right frenzy because he still had my blade, but at that moment, Pom Pom came up to stand at my shoulder and she stared at him, trembling. Not like she was afraid, but as though she knew we were standing in the presence of a god. It was her reaction that finally clued me in to who I was talking to." He could feel Lydia's eyes on him. Then she said, "You don't have to tell me what he said if you don't want to." And he never had told anyone, at least not word for word. When his father and his men had finally caught up with him, all he'd said was, "Trimmon marked me." And everyone had believed him, despite there being no real tangible proof. "You told me what Hegeria said to you the night you were marked." Killian hesitated, then said, "He asked me if I wished to protect the hope of the realm. And I said yes." Lydia was quiet. And as they continued down the path, it began to snow. At first only a few drifting flakes, but soon it turned thick and heavy, the north wind biting through his clothes. Then she asked, "Do you remember her? Kiraria?" "I never met her." But he remembered clearly his father teaching him the words of the oath he'd been supposed to swear to her. So clearly that he'd needed no reminders of them when he'd eventually sworn them to Malahai. "That night, one of the corrupted got into the palace and assassinated King Derek, and Queen Camilla and Kiraria went missing. My father organized countless searches, but their bodies were never recovered. And it was assumed they'd either been taken or been cast off the balcony into the sea." "Do you think it was Rufina who did it?" she asked while pondering the Falorn queen's given name, which was common in Celandor, but not one she'd encountered here. "Maybe. But they're 16 years dead, so it doesn't much matter. The truth won't bring them back." His skin prickled. But then he glanced down at Lydia. She was only staring at the snowy ground. Ahead of them, a narrow stream of light crossed the path. And as she stepped over it, Lydia said, "Do you believe Malahai's still alive?" Lifting his gaze to the snow-capped Liratoris that formed the border between Mudamore and Darren, he said, "Yes.